trying to come up with a vaccine against high-speed trading.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Battelle, solving what matters most in national security, health and life sciences, energy, and the environment. More at battelle.org.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio, driven in part by Michael Lewis's recent book, Regulators Are Taking Hard Looks at the Widespread Practice in Financial Markets of Ultra-High-Speed Trading. The Lewis book argues that regular investors lose out when technology gives some traders the ability to jump in and out of trades with lightning speed. The industry says there is nothing wrong with it. At the center of Lewis's book is an upstart financial trading system out of New York City called IEX that looks for ways to use technology to insulate clients from high-speed traders nibbling on the edges of their prices. Well, now the Wall Street Journal says IEX is in talks to raise several hundred million dollars in cash to turn itself into a full-fledged financial exchange with all the necessary regulatory permissions and safeguards. IEX isn't commenting about this, but the head of market operations at this maverick operation was willing to talk about his efforts to thwart the fast boys as he sees it. Don Bulderman, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, David.
Now, you've worked in many parts of your industry. What do you say to this view that technology is giving some market participants an unfair advantage?
Well, I think that is the case to some degree, absolutely. This is a consequence of the evolution from less technological to more technological over the last decade, two decades. The current structure is not perfectly efficient, and there are those who have been able to figure out there are these inefficiencies. And if they trade in a way that these inefficiencies are helping them, then they're happy to take advantage of that inefficiency.
So it's kind of an arms race. You know, you're working on the technology to plug the leaks, and I suppose there's others out there trying to poke little holes so that things keep leaking. But just give me a sense of this. For someone who's not an expert in this area, one thing you can do, I suppose, is what? Delay everyone ever so slightly?
Yes. So that's one of the foundational structural changes we made in IEX. We're talking about 350 microseconds is the amount of time we've added. So in 1 second, there are 1,000 seconds. Those are milliseconds. And in 1 millisecond, there are 1,000 microseconds. To any normal person and to most technology systems, that doesn't matter at all. But for the ultra fast, what this does is it closes the window of opportunity to take action in situations that we deemed were unfair.
Now, there's a lot of attention to this being paid right now, and there are regulators looking into this, legal authorities looking into this, but IEX was set up way before this. So you must have had a sense, and others within the company, that this was a problem that needed to be solved.
Yes. This is a debate that's been going on very acutely for the last 5 years. We as an industry, because the industry is comprised of human beings, are still trying to wrap our head around the concept that microseconds matter. What we used to think was an instant in time, a half a second, a tenth of a second, a thousandth of a second, is actually a stream of time to some participants. And we're still working our head around that.
Donald Bullerman is head of market operations at IEX Group. Mr. Bullerman, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
In a couple of nanoseconds, let's do the numbers. In London, the 100-share index is up 4 points. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1% despite an unexpected tick upward in German unemployment, a country that's supposed to be the powerhouse of the European economy. The key stock index in Shanghai closed up 1%, the one in Hong Kong up 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures over here are up. There are new signs of a real estate slump from China. Housing sales there have dropped 10% over the last year, and new construction is down nearly 25%. All this despite government efforts to encourage Chinese to buy homes. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
A raft of sluggish numbers have left many wondering if China's real estate market slowdown will end with a crash.
I think that the property crash is underway.
And Stevenson Yang is research director at J Capital in Beijing.
Once you lose the consumer's confidence that there is going to be price appreciation, then you really can't recover it.
Stevenson Yang's team recently surveyed 44 cities throughout China. They found discounts as high as 40% on properties in all but one of those cities. In 12 of the cities they surveyed, developers were financing or forgiving down payments, blatantly violating a rule requiring buyers to put 30% of their own money down on a home purchase. In a country where many people buy property more as an investment than a place to move into, economists say a property crash would mean a downturn in China's consumer spending and would have a ripple effect throughout the world's second largest economy. in Shanghai. I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix GoToMeeting, connecting people and businesses worldwide in face-to-face online meetings. More at GoToMeeting.com. And by CSX, whose trains can move a ton of freight nearly 450 miles on 1 gallon of fuel. CSX, how tomorrow moves. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
And now a humorous story. I'm sorry, my eyesight isn't what it used to be. Take two. And now a hummus story, the philosophical and business implications of when hummus is really hummus. For instance, must it contain chickpeas? The hummus maker Sabra is bugging the FDA to come up with a firm definition. Dan Bobkoff explains.
Sabra has spent millions making hummus mainstream in the U.S. Now it wants to protect its turf from non-chickpea imposters.
What are called black bean hummus or edamame hummus.
Greg Green is Sabra's director of marketing. Sabra is asking the FDA to define hummus this way.
The semi-solid food prepared from mixing cooked, dehydrated, or dried chickpeas and tahini with one or more optional ingredients.
Yum. If it succeeds, the FDA will issue what's called a standard of identity. Lots of foods have these, determining what can be labeled juice or mayonnaise or this one for milk.
Lacteal secretion of an animal.
Chris Galen is with the National Milk Producers Federation, which has been fighting names like soy milk and almond milk. To Galen and Green, these FDA definitions help avoid customer confusion. But it's also about money. If you've invested a lot marketing milk or hummus, you don't want some newcomer stealing your identity. I'm Dan Bobkoff from Marketplace.
By the way, I was offered what was called hummus in London last week that was devoid of garbanzo, substituting instead the noble chestnut. Magnificent. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Technology in the classroom has been the catchphrase for a good long time, but are we there yet?
We're in the cusp now of that big revolution, of how it impacts our general work.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the history of ed tech, next time on Marketplace from APM.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.